You know, with everything that's going on in the world, it's got to be a pretty interesting time to be involved in Islamic studies, which can be done at a number of American colleges or universities. But there was a time when Islamic studies were not a part of the U.S. academic menu. That all changed with a man named Philip Hitti. His story goes back to the early 20th century. Hitti was born in Lebanon in a farming village, and when he was a kid, his dad sent him and his brother on an errand on a donkey.
Philip's father said, "Don't get on the donkey. Don't play around on the donkey." And so, of course, as two young boys might do, once they got out of their father's line of sight, they started riding the donkey.
Evan Taparata there. He's a PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota. He wrote about Hitti for our website, PRI.org. Riding that donkey turned out not to be a good idea. Hitti fell down, broke his arm, a compound fracture, no less. After that injury, Hitti's family decided that their son wouldn't be successful in life if he stayed in that village. Things would be better if he went abroad to study, they thought. And so they sent him off to America.
He arrives to the United States in about 1913. And by that time, he had done some schooling back in Lebanon. And he actually came to the U.S. to pursue his Ph.D. And he did that at Columbia. Columbia University. The major area that he studied in at Columbia was Semitic languages. And he studied Hebrew, Assyrian, Babylonian. And after receiving his doctorate, he ended up staying in the United States for several years, not necessarily by choice. I mean, this was right during the World War I years, and it was quite difficult. It would have been quite difficult for him to return. So he stayed and did some teaching. And it was in that time when he realized that there really was a lack of coverage of Islamic and Arabic people in higher education curriculum in the United States.
I'm curious, Philip Hitti, that first name, that's obviously not Muslim. Was he Muslim himself?
Philip, and this is a really interesting part of the story, is that no, Philip himself was not Muslim. Philip was Christian, actually.
So what motivated him?
Well, first, Marco, I should say, I don't want to, you know, presume that I could speak for Philip. What I can say is that as a Christian, Philip noted that there were many similarities between Christian people, between Muslims, between Jews, and he believed that it was more important to highlight the connections and the parallels between these people and their religious beliefs rather than highlight the differences between them.
So what were some of the courses in Islam that Hitti introduced, and where were they taught, and how were they received?
Well, so first, Philip noted that when he first started teaching at Princeton University, he was hired to come on as kind of a specialist in the Arab world, and the Near East is how they termed it in those days. Philip noticed that if there were courses at Princeton at that time that talked about Arabic people or Islamic people, Muslims, that they focused more so on the relationship of Islam to Christianity or to Judaism. And he thought it was really important to highlight that connection and that relationship, certainly. But he also wanted to introduce courses that taught students about Islam for Islam's sake. And so he made that his mission in the courses that he designed and offered while at Princeton.
So I'm curious, Evan, for students who are in Islamic studies today around the country, what would you tell them is the most important part of Philip Hitti's legacy?
I think there are a few lessons here. It took Philip many years, actually, to get this program of Near Eastern studies and Islamic and Arabic studies off the ground. And I think that it's a story that reminds us the struggle to make sure that curriculum in the United States that speaks to the experiences and histories and cultures of diverse peoples is this is an ongoing struggle. Philip believed that recognizing that the history of Islamic people was not some isolated field of study. He believed it was that the experience and history of Muslims is very much integral to the history and experiences and cultures of people all over the world, regardless of their religion. And yes, now today, more than ever, I think this is a lesson that students of Islamic studies would certainly benefit from remembering. But I think we all can benefit from remembering that right now.
Evan Taparata, PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Marco.